Good evening. The time is 6:30. 6:33, actually. You're listening to Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka. I'm Robert Woolsey. We just heard a regularly scheduled candidate statement from a school board candidate, Jennifer Robinson. Candidate statements are heard every morning and evening in the 2 weeks prior to the October 6th election. And now I have four gentlemen in the studio, and we're going to shift gears a little bit and talk about the assembly. We're hosting the first of two live call-in election forums here on Raven Radio. We'll be hearing from the candidates for Sitka Assembly. Thursday night, I'll be back with those candidates for school board. I have here in the studio the four candidates, Orion Hughes-Knowles, Matt Hunter, Bob Petruski, and John Welsh. The candidates are running for two open seats on the assembly. Matt Hunter is an incumbent seeking a second term. Michelle Putz was appointed to serve the year remaining in Phyllis Hackett's term, but she's decided not to run again. So we have two open seats on the assembly. Thanks to all you guys for being here tonight. And I wanted to let you know that the candidates will be taking your calls until 8 p.m. this evening. The number is 747-5877. They'll be talking a little bit about why they're running, but mostly we hope they'll be answering your questions. You can ask questions, again, by calling in, 747-5877, or you can email your questions to news@kcaw.org. There's also an open thread on our Facebook page, which I have open right in front of me, and you can add your questions in the comments there. I also have a stack of questions from Howard Wayne's American Government class at Sitka High School. I warned the guys about this in advance, so beware. And the format tonight, again, is fairly informal. We'll have the candidates introduce themselves, and then we'll take questions, and there should be time for brief closing statements at the end. The candidates should also feel free to respond to each other, agree, disagree, but this is a forum, not a debate. It's about sharing ideas for the voting public. No one here is keeping score. So we'll start by having the candidates take a minute or two each to introduce themselves. We'll start with Matt Hunter. Matt, please introduce yourself and tell us why you're running for school board.
Thank you, Rob.
Or I'm assembly. Sorry.
I didn't catch that. I'm just a little nervous here, like everyone, I think. Good evening. My name is Matthew Hunter, and I'm currently finishing my first three-year term on the city assembly. I am a lifelong Sitkan. I was born and raised here. I am currently a teacher at Mount Edgecombe High School in my 10th year teaching math and science at Mount Edgecombe. I also volunteer in the community with our fire department in the EMS and search and rescue divisions. And I've thoroughly enjoyed the past 3 years learning more about our community than I thought it was possible for me not to know about it growing up here. It's amazing how much goes on behind the scenes to make our city government and our city function. It's been extremely rewarding to be part of the process, and I'm very willing and interested in being reelected for another three-year term. I'm really running because I truly love Sitka. I grew up here. This is home, and I need Sitka to be successful in the long term because I want to stay here, and I want Sitka to still be a special place in 50 years. Thank you.
All right. That's Assembly candidate Matt Hunter. John Welsh, good evening.
Hi, I'm John Welsh, and I became interested because I'm the father of three kids in the school district, so I quickly learned what a great district we have and what super teachers we have. And I had a career in education in non-performing schools, low-performing schools, so I recognize a high-performing school. Sitka is a high-performing school, and I want to help maintain that high quality. It's one of the signature benefits of living here to have that opportunity for the children. So last year when the state budget cuts began, or the news of them began to come out, that led me into realizing that the city, we in SIC, are going to have to take up quite a bit of that slack. And it got me involved in looking at how we do our finances and how we raise money. And that probably is going to be my focus if I'm elected, looking at how we get the revenue to keep the quality of the schools, the hospitals, and of the city government itself, and streamlining some of the practices that we have, reevaluating them to see if we're always doing things the best way. And in regard to that, I heavily resisted and continue to resist teacher layoffs, city employee layoffs as a cost-cutting method. I mean, sometimes people have to go because a job isn't necessary or because they're not up to it. But we shouldn't just be getting rid of people to save money. We should be examining how we do things and using efficiencies and reorganizing things to save money that way first. So that's why I'm running.
All right. Thank you, John Welsh. I should mention that John Welsh won't appear on the ballot, but you are a registered write-in candidate. You did file a letter of intent with City Hall. That's why we invited you into the process.
Thank you.
Tonight. And next, Orion Hughes Knowles. Good evening, Orion.
Good evening. I'm Orion Hughes Knowles, running for Sitka Assembly. I ran last year for mayor against incumbent and current mayor Mitt McConnell. And I decided to run again because I believe that I do have something to offer the residents of Sitka. And I graduated from the Sitka School District in 2006. And after achieving a bachelor's in sociology, I came back to Sitka because I've got a strong connection to this town and to the people here. And I believe that Sitka is a real special place. You know, I've been a lot of places down south, and it's really hard to compare. And so I have a lot of investment in the future and survival of the town. And I think that we're at a pretty critical junction here in terms of the future of the city financially and otherwise. And a lot of what the previous candidate said is true, that there are a lot of state and federal monies that are not going to be as available to us. And so we have to search for the most effective ways to fund our city services or not fund them. That is the crux of the issue. Do we find new sources of revenue, or do we get rid of services that a lot of Sitkans rely on? Also, a large part of what I see as a potential financial boon to this town is the upcoming legalization of marijuana sales. And I think that if the city assembly and the people of Sitka take cautious but optimistic steps towards integrating that industry into the town, then we can see a lot of benefits. And I don't think we should let fear of kind of an unknown and untested industry prevent us from promoting entrepreneurial spirit in terms of a new and emerging industry. So I think we should take steps to really capitalize that. And if we, as a city, become the vanguard on sensible marijuana regulation, I believe that we could become an example for the rest of the state.
All right. Thanks, Orion Hughes Knowles. Bob Petruski, welcome to our forum.
Thanks, Rob. And Orion, John, and Matt, and of course, Rob, it's an honor to be here with all three of you. It's I know for me it was quite a step to get into the assembly race and look at the daunting hours that it takes and those kinds of things. So I thank you for being here and being part of this process. Like the rest of everybody said their names, my name is Bob Petruski, and I grew up in a big city, city of Detroit. I moved to Eek, Alaska, which is outside of Bethel, which is a community of about 300. I then moved to Metlakatla, which is in southeast Alaska, and fell in love with Sitka on a visit and wanted to be here. And so for the last 29 years, I've raised my family, bought a house, and had a great career, which included having Matt Hunter and Orion in my class and John's kids in my class, and that was delightful in all cases. I guess what I'd like to say to start is, why am I doing this? And I think, I don't know if anybody has heard of or read a gentleman named Marcus Borg, but he talks about service and how important it is for mind, body, and soul. And my wife and I have been doing a lot of reading, over the last 6 months about those kinds of things. And when this opportunity came up, it kept nagging at me and nagging at me. And finally, in my driveway, Matt kicked me in the butt and got me in the race. But it had been in my mind even before Matt asked me. And I think truly, service is one of the greatest things that we can offer. And if I'm lucky enough to be part of the assembly, I bring a lot of experience with being part of an organization, but how to lead people, how to teach, how to communicate, and I think I can bring all those things. Thanks, Rob.
All right. Thank you, Bob Petruski. And again, you're listening to Raven Radio, where the candidates for Sitka Assembly are taking your questions. You can call in at 747-5877, or you can email your questions to news@kcaw.org. You can also submit questions via Facebook. Just go to the Raven Radio Facebook page. You can go to kcaw.org and just click on the Facebook button, and you'll go right there, and you'll see a thread. And we're already starting to have some questions roll in on email. I think we should just get right to it. I have a stack of questions, but we're a community radio station, and we like to open up these things to the community. The first one, it's directed at you, Matt, but everybody could take a crack at this. In recent months, Matt Hunter and two other members of the Sitka Assembly co-sponsored a proposed city law revision to immediately revoke the senior citizen sales tax exemption. Many low and fixed income and retired seniors view this as a direct attack upon elderly seniors. Seeking to balance the city budget by hitting low-income retired elderly seniors, the Assembly wisely chose not to act on this proposed revocation of the senior sales tax exemption. Candidate Matt Hunter, how would you reassure elderly seniors to vote for you now in this election? Thank you for providing a response. That's from Don.
Okay. Well, thank you, Don. I did co-sponsor that actually with one other Assembly member, Stephen Eisenbeiss, and I. We brought that issue forward because we were looking at how our community currently is positioned to have well over 20% and soon a third of our population eligible not to pay any sales taxes and eligible to get the first $150,000 of property value and property tax exempt. And looking long term, I'm very concerned for the future if the cost of living is increasing as it seems to be and continues to do that. We're going to have to make up the gap as our population ages. We're looking at younger generations to pay more and more. The cost of a house today is three times as much relative to the income that a person makes as it was just 30 years ago. It's very difficult for young people to get a piece of land in this community. To ensure seniors, I would not attack them. I'm not trying to attack anyone, and I don't have an agenda to push any one issue. I have no intention of ramming anything down anyone's throats, and I think that was clear if you look at our past discussions and read some of our minutes from our Assembly meetings, or even view them online. You can watch any Assembly meeting online. It's the forum in which we have any discussion is at the Assembly table, and we cannot discuss an issue as a body without bringing it forward. In order to do that, sometimes we bring forward things that we know probably don't have support to pass, but they're an issue we need to talk about. In this case, we postponed action twice and then postponed indefinitely on this ordinance. It never was an ordinance that was going to immediately reduce or remove the senior sales tax exemption. And it was originally going to be a rebate program based on need for seniors. And currently we're asking the Citizens Task Force to look at it. I think my time's up. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Matt Hunter. We have a call. Matt, you're on the air. Can you hear us?
Yeah, I can, Rob. Can you hear me?
Yes. Go ahead and ask your question of the Assembly candidates.
As people that listen to the Assembly meetings on Raven Radio or go to the Assembly meetings know, when I'm in town, I go to Assembly meetings now and then. And I have been concerned about the raising cost of city services, particularly things like harbor rates, electrical rates, utility rates, although my condition that doesn't apply. As each candidate, are you going to continue, if you're elected, are you going to continue this increase in these rates? I don't believe that all of them are necessary. I don't believe in the 50-year plan for the harbors. As it is, it needs to be modified. What's your position on that raising rates on the harbors for 50 years? We now have, I think, the most expensive mortgage in Southeast Alaska right now. And what's your position on raising the rates, electrical rates, the harbor rates, et cetera? Thank you.
Thanks very much for your question, Matt. John Welsh, let's start with you. Where do you stand on the rates that Matt was talking about?
Well, the key to this is economic development. we have to generate more money. We have to get business in here. We have to stop losing businesses. And we have to capitalize on the electrical generation capacity that we now have and start letting the world know about it. I mean, states and areas of the country are without water and they're relying on coal. They're going to exhaust that. And they're going to want to come here and start clean. We can accept lots of clean industry here and rebuild the economy so that these fees don't fall so heavily on us. I mean, because right now we're looking at budget cuts, probably unemployment, but some businesses have closed. However, we dodged a bullet on electric rates because the economic development funds were available and we were able to shunt them over to get us through it through a year or two on the rates. But as long as these increases are supported by evidence and the financial picture leads to them, I support them. They're necessary. We can't have these services without paying for them.
Orion?
Well, generally, the increase in rates is to accommodate union benefits for city employees and for the adjustment against the consumer price index for the cost of inflation, which is about a 2% increase per year, roughly. And that's just to keep everything at a status quo. What we've had a problem with is not increasing rates by that incremental amount each year. And basically what we're asking to do when we don't raise rates is saying someone 5, 10, 15 years down the road is going to have to pay for that. And that's when the situation we're in now. We're paying for previous years not increasing the rates. So our choices are we can have an incremental rate increase that will match union costs and inflation costs, or we can say someone 5, 10 years from now can pay for it.
All right. Thank you, Orion. Bob Petruski, your thoughts on
rising rates? Matt, thanks for calling. And I do appreciate the fishermen that we have in town. And I'm going to bow to your expertise about the harbors. Though I question whether Sitka has the highest moorage rates. At least my research doesn't indicate that, but you know better. I guess I look at this completely differently. From 1992 to 2007, there weren't any increases in water and electric rates, and part of that was due to the mill closure and trying to keep the rates low so that people could recover from that. But we're long past that now, and really what it gets down to, when you start raising moorage rates and when you start raising, water and sewage rates to the point where it hits every individual hard, I think that's when you have to start looking at simply raising the property taxes. And I think if we raise the property taxes, then everybody pays a little bit of those rates, instead of the full rate hike. And then we can start attacking our infrastructure. And I agree with John. We need to have these rates because I believe that our infrastructure is aging. I've seen the water erupting from the middle of the roads and those kinds of things. And we need to replace our infrastructure. I don't agree with Orion that these are somehow going to union benefits or those kinds of things. But I do know that we need to improve our infrastructure. And it's either going to be through rate hikes, which are going to hit everybody high, or we can do it through an increase in property taxes.
Thank you, Bob. Matt, did you want to take on this one?
Yes, please. Thank you. I do see Matt at a lot of assembly meetings, and I was anticipating a question similar to this from him. As we look at our services offered by this community, the bulk of them that are utilities are covered by enterprise funds, and these enterprise funds are designed so that they must be self-supporting. As all the other candidates have mentioned, we have not been increasing rates commensurate with inflation or the cost of actually replacing the infrastructure we have for decades. We are way behind what we were paying in 1980. We've neglected to raise rates for a short-term benefit, and now our current Sitkins, all of us current residents, have to pick up the slack because it's time to replace this infrastructure that we haven't saved in the past to replace. it costs a lot to live in town, and unfortunately, we have to pay enough money to continue the services that we are enjoying. And I also would like to say that I think the operations and the actual cost of the employees is not the big ticket item here. It's the projects of replacing harbors. And in the Harbor Master Plan, the reason that's calling for 6 to 7% rate increases over the next years is because of Eliason Harbor eventually needing to be replaced, and that's going to be a $20 to $30 million project in another 20 years. And if we're going to keep that harbor, we need to save now, or we can't do it.
All right. Thank you, Matt. You're listening to Raven Radio, where candidates for Sitka Assembly are taking your questions. The number to call is 747-5877, or you can email your questions to news@kcaw.org. You can also post a question on our Facebook page. Just look for the Assembly Candidate Forum thread. We have a caller on the line. Charles, welcome to our forum.
Hi. I've got a kind of an infrastructure-related question, and it regards with technology. Where are we going with our, like internet and that kind of stuff? We there recently, about a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, there was an article on the tech publication Gizmodo that ranked 4,600 or thereabouts communities around the country on the speed of typical home internet. Sitka was fifth from last. And not only that, we are paying a lot more. If you were an ACS customer, you're paying more compared to other places in the state for the same service. And, we had such a cap on our lines and everything. And that was based on home internet, typical home internet, not what you'd get at a large workplace. We aren't going to be able to track any kind of technology firms if we have such a slow internet capability and everything. How do we improve our infrastructure in that respect? And I know there's the private aspect, but how do we improve it so that maybe we can develop some new technology firms and stuff like that?
All right. Thanks very much for your question, Charles. Orion, you're at the top of the pile here.
Well, the question of internet speeds has mostly to do with our private contracted internet providers, and it's predominantly outside of the city purview. And currently, I don't see that as a high priority item. I think that we've got a lot of other issues to tackle before we tackle high-speed internet. It is something that is unfortunate that we don't have high internet speeds, or fast internet speeds. They're certainly available if you want to pay more money for them. And any technology firm that was serious about doing business in Sitka would probably not have an issue with paying more money. But Sitka, I don't see having ever been a hot spot for technology entrepreneurship. It's not geographically attractive to technology firms. I don't see it as a high priority in terms of Sitka's future.
Thanks, Orion. Bob Petruski, your thoughts on this?
Well, Charles, thanks for the call. And I agree with you 100%. When I go to Juneau and when I go to Ketchikan and I turn on my phone and I get LTE up there instead of, what we get here, which is sometimes two dots and a four, or sometimes an E, I'm a little outraged by that, why we can't do that and why we can't have that here. And I don't think that it's a huge stretch that that Sitka could have that. And again, I think... I have to disagree with Orion on that. I mean, Sitka consistently ranks as one of the most beautiful cities in America and one of the top places to live and, those kinds of things. And, I think when you have that sort of a thing and you can bring in the infrastructure so that a technology company or a technology entrepreneur, as Orion said, could come in here, I think it would be amazing. And I do believe that our infrastructure is one of those things that keeps us down. It's a smaller world now. You can get anywhere where you need to. But if you can live here and work off the internet, I think we could attract people here.
Thank you, Bob. Matt Hunter?
Thank you. As I understand it, GCI laid a cable, a fiber cable to Sitka, and basically everyone's using that. And they did that with their own money. I'm sure it was millions of dollars. I know the cost of submarine cable for electrical generation is to the tune of over $10 million a mile, which is why we don't have turbines out on Bjork Island. But when it comes to the internet, it does cost a lot in town. It's one of those things that just costs more because we live on the outside of an island in southeast Alaska. We're not on the main street, so we couldn't tie into the main cable when they laid that to Juneau a few years back. And I guess we're no longer on the main path like we were when this cable house was built and we had the old telegraph cable. So I don't know what the answer is, except that if someone has a pot of money out there and wants to give it to us, I'd happily accept it to upgrade internet. But until we get hundreds of millions of dollars from water or something, that I don't see how we're going to be able to put city funds to subsidizing internet in Sitka.
All right. Thanks, Matt.
Thank you.
John, your thoughts on technology?
Sure. Well, Iceland is about as isolated as you can get, and it built a huge financial empire based on broadband and internet. They have had a slump and recovered from it. And I don't think Iceland is as beautiful as Sitka. I agree with Bob that people will want to come here. Las Vegas took business away from Silicon Valley. Lots of internet startups and tech companies moved to Las Vegas to get out of the urban congestion of Silicon Valley. And Las Vegas did this by having great broadband. It's a basic infrastructure that's required. It's just like you've got to have broadband, just like you have to have sewage. It's the modern world. You can't get by without it. This gets back to what I was saying about Las Vegas has an energy crunch. They can't supply all the electricity that's needed by these companies, and they're starting to look elsewhere. Companies want to go to beautiful places with a high quality of life. They're going to come here if we have broadband and we have some land for them and we have the right pro-business attitudes, and they're going to love it. Look at what they can enjoy on their time off and how they can revitalize downtown Sitka to make it more congenial for themselves. It's a huge opportunity that we should investigate, and broadband's the foundation of it.
All right. Thank you. The time is 7 o'clock. You're listening to Raven Radio, KCAW. In Sitka, you're listening to a live election forum with our four candidates for Sitka Assembly: Matt Hunter, John Welsh, who is a write-in candidate, Orion Hughes-Knowles, and Bob Petruski. We're taking your calls at 747-5877 or through email news@kcaw.org or on Facebook. And Matt, you brought up water in your last response. We have a question from Ted via email. Please discuss Sitka's water resources and the potential for increasing revenue for Sitka through the sale of water. Bob Petruski, your turn for your first answer.
Well, I think Sitka has a lot of things to offer the rest of the world. And if you look right at the top, it's got to be water. When we were kind of the centerfold of Newsweek magazine a few years ago, I don't know if any of you recall that, water is the new oil. I was just listening to some TED Talks today and talking about the finite nature of oil. And people are moving away from it. And, the next big thing is going to be water. I just read an article about Canada starting to gear up and talk about and discuss their use of their water resources and the exportation of and those kinds of things. And I think water is undervalued. It's an issue. I think we're selling it for $1 a gallon, and it's going to be more and more and more precious. And I think we should be cautious into getting into long-term deals that are going to sit on that price. But you look at California, you look at the Middle East, you look at China. Everybody wants water. And when we get an inch of rain, Blue Lake goes up 650 million gallons. So on a night when we get 5 inches of rain, we're looking at 3 billion gallons of water, and it's going to go through a pipe and provide us with electricity, and then we could sell it. I mean, I don't think you can get a better deal than that.
All right, thanks, Bob. Matt Hunter, your thoughts on water resources?
Thank you. I'd absolutely love it if we were able to sell some water at a penny a gallon. That's 1 cent a gallon. The city has rights to 9 billion gallons a year for export. That's over $90 million in revenue we could get if we were able to export this water. It takes about 500 gallons to produce 1 kilowatt hour of electricity, which costs us, a kilowatt hour costs us about 12 cents currently in a residence, or if we're burning diesel, it costs us 70 to 80 cents. 500 gallons of water is $5 if we export it. We could export water, shut off our turbines, and burn diesel and make money at the current price of a penny a gallon. Now, I'm not advocating that. I think it'd be immoral and not the right thing to do on many levels, but that's the how lucrative this is if we're able to sell it. The problem is, while we have a firm who's been working hard and investing over $1 million now, they have the pipeline and the floating beams for a floating pipeline, we have not yet got us a point where the firm has a market that's ready to offload the water. And they want to give us another $1 million for 3 years of additional water rights to deliver their first 50 million gallons is the mandate for them to keep their rights. So if they do that in the next 3 years, they get to keep that. And that would bring the total deposit they've given from $1.5 million currently up to about $2.5 million. And that's something the Assembly will act on later, I believe.
All right. Thanks, Matt. John Welsh, your thoughts on water?
Well, to begin with, I think we need to try to handle this so that we get local jobs from it. I'm a little disturbed by just offloading bulk water, although if that's the best way to do it, that's how we should do it. We should sell it one way or another. But why can't we bottle it here or package it or get some kind of a manufacturing involvement that creates work for Sickens? The other thing is, I've said I'm pro-business, and here's one way I'm pro-business, which is we got to get this Paxton Industrial Park moving. We've been dithering around with it in regard to the deep water port, the haul out for large boats, and how to divide it up between various companies. And I think we need to hand this over to the private sector. We have to say, what is your plan? Do it your way, and then we're going to back you, and we're going to put money into it. And, of course, we have to be careful environmentally, and they have to meet all the prerequisites of that kind, regulatory prerequisites. But let's get it moving out there. Let's get the water pumping. Let's get the deep water inlet dug. And let's make it so that people can haul out boats and create jobs fixing them.
Thanks, John. Orion, your thoughts on water resources?
I do agree that it's a great natural resource that we should utilize to its greatest potential. But I think that we should be very cautious about entering into, like Bob said, entering into long-term contracts in regards to it. And also, while we do want to make it attractive for companies to invest in it, I think we should also be cautious and just starting to give it away, or instead of, you know, compared to just selling it, we should maybe lease properties instead of just selling properties outright, so we can always have a little bit of control over it. We don't want it to get completely out of city control, so we have outside investors who have more control and say over our resources than we do. But I don't think we should let that stifle further business, but always with a cautious eye to the potential downfall to that.
All right. Thanks, Orion. The number to call is 747-5877 if you have a question for our candidates, or if you'd like to email a question. The address is news@kcaw.org. You can also post a thread on our Facebook page. I wonder, before we move on to the next thing, if anybody wants to take a crack at the senior sales tax exemption that Matt answered on behalf of one caller who specifically addressed him. Do you just want to take 30 seconds?
I'd love to. Oh. I'd love to talk about it.
Okay.
Because you know, if you look at the stats that Matt talked about with the projection of our population, you know, pretty soon we're going to have 2/3 of the population, the young people that we need to bring into the community, they're going to be subsidizing, you know, the upper third. And you know, I didn't agree with just abolishing the senior tax, but I really think that we could do it in a needs-based way. And I think there are any number of measures that you could use, you know, for need, three times the federal poverty level, or you know, or whatever. But if we can figure out which kids need to have free and reduced lunches at our schools, we can easily figure out, you know, who really needs to have a senior tax break.
All right. Thanks, Bob. John?
I agree with that. I'm totally on board with the needs-based approach that Bob just recommended. And I've been toying around with that idea and restructuring it. There are a lot of ideas under discussion for restructuring it, making sure the people who need it get it. And it shouldn't certainly be totally abolished. I have I qualify for the senior card, and I may cut it in half at the chamber meeting tomorrow, just as a part of it, you know, because really, we should keep paying. We've got to invest in the young people as well as have them invest in us.
All right, thanks, John. Orion, on this theme, we did get a question from via email. Who believes that last year during your mayoral run, you said it would be disrespectful to seniors to repeal the senior sales tax exemption. And this Anne is her name. She wants to know if your opinions have changed at all.
I would, if it were up to me, I would not change it. However, it's a big however, a big however there. If it did need to financially, it'd be one of the very last things that I would look into changing, and I would definitely not want to abolish it in any sense. A needs-based approach could be an interesting way, but I would be cautious about that. And also, the same way you can't use food stamps to get alcohol and cigarettes, we could look into restructuring or restricting it to like fuel oil. Or just food, kind of the essential amenities, instead of, you know, buying consumer electronics mm-hmm. and not paying taxes on that. I think that's kind of contrary to the spirit of the sales tax. Like going to a downtown store and buying a widescreen TV and not paying sales tax on it. I mean, that's not really. I don't see that as the purpose and the point of the senior sales tax exemption. So. If I were to support any kind of change to the senior sales tax, it would be in that spirit. However, I would definitely do that as kind of a last resort budget financial-wise.
All right. You're listening to a live call-in with Assembly candidates. We just heard from Orion Hughes-Knowles. Bob Petruski is here, John Welsh, and Matt Hunter. And we have a caller on the line. Philip, welcome to our forum.
Yeah. How long are they going to be raising the taxes on everything around here in Sick and give us a chance of living?
All right. Thanks, Philip. Thanks for your call. Matt, you're up. How long are we going to be raising taxes?
Thank you.
Sitka?
Thank you, Philip, for calling in. I wish I could predict the future and know where we're going to be. I will say that I do not want to raise taxes any higher than they have to be for us to have services be sustainable in this town. And I mentioned services and taxes because they go hand in hand. We have to pay for what we get, and we have to pay for what we use. As we use our roads, we eventually have to replace them. As we use our sewer and our water and electricity, eventually we have to replace the infrastructure that goes with each of those funds. And currently, with the exception of, I don't think we have any funds currently that are making enough money that they're saving what they need to do to repair infrastructure in the future. So I think we're going to have to either increase rates or taxes or decrease services. If we start cutting some of the things the city has traditionally done, then that's one way that we could avoid raising taxes and allow people to live here. But thank you for the question.
All right. Thanks, Matt. John Welsh, your thoughts on how long we're going to keep raising taxes around here?
Well, I don't like paying taxes either. But this is why I say Sitka is worth it. I have lived places where the taxes were high and it was dysfunctional. Nothing worked. The crime was out of control. The public safety office department didn't work. The schools didn't work. Everything was in total chaos all the time. Sitka is in pretty good shape. Things are being handled and business is being run pretty well by the city, and it's worth paying for it. That's my position. So there's obviously a breaking point where none of us can come up with the money anymore, but we're not anywhere near that. Sales tax is an example. We have almost 30 exemptions. A huge amount of people aren't paying any sales tax, but we're still making it work. So As long as it's rational and we can demonstrate the reasons we're doing it, I just have to go along with paying a little bit more to get what it's worth. It's worth it here.
All right. Thanks, John. Orion, your feelings on how long we're going to keep raising taxes?
As long as we need city services and that the cost goes up to replace and our infrastructure and to maintain it. If people don't want, if people only want trash pickup once a month, or if they, they want the class size, the student teacher ratio to be 50 students to a teacher, then sure, we can stop raising taxes, and that's up to, the general populace. And one of the big issues in terms of that is the property tax cap, which has been kept artificially low at 6 mils. That's amazingly low if you look at other towns in the United States. So that would take the burden off the sales tax if we were able to get rid of that the artificially low cap. That takes a mandate from the citizens to vote on to remove that cap. And then ideally the sales tax would be set every year by the assembly to balance the budget out. But that will be up to the citizens. And if the citizens don't want more taxes, then we can reduce the city services.
All right. Thanks, Ryan. Bob Petruski.
Philip, thanks for your call. I know it's pretty tough for a lot of folks in town, both young and old. And unfortunately, when I listen to John, I listen to Orion, they're right, and Matt as well. This is a great place to live. And unfortunately, we've hit a spot where things have been kept so low for so long that, suddenly we have to raise them, considerably to get caught up. But here's the other thought is, that if we can continue to have the outstanding city services and we can keep bringing people in, if you look at what's going on at the Gary Paxton Industrial Park, there are more jobs in town now, and hopefully we can connect people with good paying jobs so that the broad-based tax initiatives that I hope we can pass, wouldn't impact people too severely.
All right. Thanks, Bob.
If I may interject really quickly, I just want to say one thing that's happening right now is we have the Citizens Task Force that just had its most recent meeting last night, and they're looking at this very issue. How do we balance city services and taxes? So whichever of us get elected, we'll have a report in about 5 months from them with some recommendations of where to go.